Hafa day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
You see, just because you end up giving your life to Christ, you might end up thinking, as oftentimes it's presented, well, when you end up giving your life to Christ, then everything's going to be okay, and then it's totally the opposite when you end up looking through Bible characters, including the life of David.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
God, through Scripture, unveils for us His very Spirit and the power in which this young shepherd boy unfolded the very power of God. Do you remember this story of David? Now, the last couple of messages has been the start of, which will continue, the life of David. This real-life drama with spiritual life applications. In the introduction, very simply, there's no greater story that's recognized by more people than this really ancient Polaroid moment. The narrative is familiar, but really no less fascinating and factual. And I don't want you to get lost in the familiarity of the story, but I do believe there are four powerful life lessons that you and I can make application to. But maybe for your benefit, in 1 Samuel 17, you end up finding the story here of David, who again was this shepherd boy at 15. And over this period of time, he ends up, over the next year or so, in and out of his contact with Saul and who is the king, selected because of his outward greatness and who he was. David now is called by his father Jesse, and in 1 Samuel 17, you end up finding verse 12, very simply, that David was there in the sheepfold. And there's where you end up finding his brothers now off in the battlefields. And so you find verse 17 that Jesse said to David, his son, take now thy brethren and this parched corn and the loaves and run to the camp to your brethren. And what I want to do is just kind of hopscotch through this story. And then at the end here, let's draw some application. Can we do that? Stay with the story because this narrative is really quite fascinating. Do you remember in verse 18, he told them, carry the 10 cheeses unto the captain of the 1,000 and take your brethren and give it to them. Find out how they're doing. And so verse 19, Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley fighting with the Philistines. And there David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. He went as Jesse, his father, commanded him, and he came to the trench. And the host was going forth to fight, and they shouted for the battle. Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And verse 23, as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. The armies of the Philistines spoke according to the same words, and David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the men, fled from him. They were sore afraid. You end up finding that David said, verse 37, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. So Saul armed David with his armor and put on the helmet of his brass and his head and armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword about his armor and he essayed to go, but he would not prove it. David said, I can't go with these. I've not proved them. David put off. He took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had had in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, he came and drew nigh to meet David. The David hasted, ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slang it. Bad English. Smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. So David therefore ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and slew him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Powerful story. It's been a while maybe since you've read it. But it really does illustrate for us a truth documentation of really what took place. What can we draw from all of that? I've mentioned to you as our church many, many times, when you read the scriptures, you've got 3 questions. Number 1, what did it say when it was written? Number two, what does that mean to us today? And number three, what does that mean to me? As I read the passage, it's pretty factual about all the events that took place, and it's kind of straight up. But why did God put that in Scripture? Among other things, it's for our learning. What can we learn from that? Just the facts that, you know, this has happened, and this young boy took care of this big guy, and there you go. The fact is that for you and I today, when you look at God's Word, there are principles that you can draw from. Truths, as I would look at, as Davidic dynamics. When you say, what's the dynamic of how things unfolded that make application to us today? Is it much different that you and I would end up facing our own Goliaths, our own difficulties, our own struggles? And how do we end up handling those? I would suggest to you these four observations. If you're taking notes in your journal, write them down or put them in the side of your Bible. I think it'll be able to help you today, because for most people, listen to me, for most people spiritually and in their own lives, they have huge, huge Goliath-sized problems, and they are not sure what to do. And they're standing there as uncertain about what to do as those soldiers were with Israel, saying, I don't know what to do. And unfortunately, the very king himself, who, do you remember, was head and shoulders above everybody else. Who's the biggest guy? Because they got a big guy. We got a big guy. Why don't you go get him? Saul and his insecurity and his own fear, no way. Well, besides the fact, I'm the king. You guys are the soldiers. You go get him. What do you end up learning from all of this? Make some observations. Maybe they help, really, life lessons. Number one, you'll end up finding, very simply, that obedience to God could lead you into greater conflict. Very simply, when I look at that story, I realize that, number one, obedience to God could lead you into greater conflict. As I look at David, David was right in the center of God's will. God had said through his own father, David, I want you to get out there, check on your three brothers. They're out in the battle. He brings them food. And David finds himself now moving in obedience, but out of that obedience, he finds greater and greater conflict. By the way, you end up finding that regular basis, as David was, he was under conflict, including, as you'd lean up reading the passage, his own brother in verse 28, when Eliab, his oldest brother, heard that he spake unto the men, Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He said, why did you come down? And his brother now, unjustly, the sibling rivalry and jealousy and unfounded accusations of the motives really end up attacking David. David's doing what he's been told to do, and he finds himself under greater conflict. That overhearing David's own conversation with those soldiers, Eliab begins questioning his motive, and really, as one author said, with acidic envy and a razor blade tongue, attacks David's motives. And David really displays his own giant faith, refusing to be offended. He just ignores it and moves on, begins asking other questions. And I would suggest to you and I as well, when you look at Scripture, you'll end up finding that that is a pattern in Psalms 27, which we won't read as a reference point. You can read later about David unfolding his heart. You do end up finding in Romans 5, 3-5, where the Bible says, tribulation worketh patience. You see, just because you end up giving your life to Christ, you might end up thinking, as oftentimes it's presented, well, when you end up giving your life to Christ, that everything's going to be okay, and that it's totally the opposite when you end up looking through Bible characters, including the life of David, including this particular event when you end up finding David now. Notice, if you would, in verse 20, you kind of, if you want to underline words like verse 20, David rose up early. Verse 22, David left his carriage, and he came and slew his brethren. Verse 23, David heard the words. Verse 26, David begins speaking. You end up finding in verse 31, David spoke again. And then you end up finding in verse 39, David girded his sword. You end up finding verse 40, he drew near to the Philistine. All these action words that David now gets farther and farther into battle. You end up finding verse 48, David hastened and David ran towards the enemy. Verse 50, David prevailed over the Philistines. There's this regular sense that when you end up saying, God, I want to be used by you in whatever vocation and responsibilities I carry, I promise you, there will continually be difficulties. And just as those conflicts come, David himself finds him, just as it was with Paul in prison, with John in Patmos, or with Moses there 40 years in the wilderness, or with Jeremiah in the pit, or Christ himself was on that painful cross in the center of the Father's will. Is it possible for you, believer, to be in a place of great pressure and difficulties and begin questioning, God, what are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to do? I thought you loved me. Why would you allow these events to go on? Whatever they may be. And God says, listen, the pattern and truth of Scripture as a Davidic is to say, God, obedience to you is going to lead me into greater conflict. If we stop there, it could be depressing. But you realize that second observation as we look at the life of David on this polarized moment, you find number two, that it's not the size of our enemy or our problem. It's the size of our weapon that God says is where the focus is. Because you end up looking at the passage, you realize that David ended up having this huge enemy. And that enemy of Goliath, by just his sheer measurements, are pretty awesome. We won't work through all of them, but it's an interesting the fact that God allows the details we put out about this Goliath, who you end up finding is quite awesome in how big he is. If you were to take the measurements, you'd end up finding that it was 9 feet, 3 inches, some say upwards of 10 feet. His very armor was upwards of 150 pounds, just the armor. The spearhead was over 25 pounds. And here's David at 16, who certainly was not near the size of all that. But you find, as Spurgeon said, that this Goliath is no more stark a picture of Satan and his power, that Goliath in his own measurements were awesome. His own mouth, in verse 8 and 9, he says, choose you a man. Hey, I'll go ahead and fight. You end up getting in a place that I'll take care of whoever. In his own message was very much of an anti-God. I defy the armies of Israel. You end up finding this picture of Goliath and who he was. And he is a perfect illustration in that day in which it was reality. You had a whole army for 40 days, this has been going on, of someone that was saying, I'm opposed to your God. Now, I would say to you, the simple application is for you and I, there is regular Goliaths that go on in our own life. And there is a whole world that is totally opposite what you as a Christian would stand for. And you can't end up trying to come along and buddy up to a Goliath. They are not wanting what you have to offer. And you are not trying to say, I'm going to end up coming alongside of you and being just like you so that I can end up defeating you. Because it won't work. God loves to take the biggest enemy and take the smallest thing he has possible and use to defy man's logic. Many times, what is so logical becomes so untheological. I mean, what logic is there to take the 16-year-old kid and say, listen, here's this sling, and you go out and you kill that guy? And as obvious as that may be, that's so often the case when you end up finding that God himself takes our own weakness in our own small parts we have to offer. And God says, I will use you. You are a nobody, but you can become my somebody. You would be in a place to step out in obedience and do what I've asked you to do.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.